Elbphilharmonie Talk, der Gesprächspodcast der Elbphilharmonie.
Herzlich willkommen zum Elbphilharmonie Talk. Heute mit José Antonio Méndez Padrón, dem Dirigenten des Havana Lyceum Orchestra, das heute hier in der Elbphilharmonie spielen wird. Er ist gerade angekommen von einer Tournee, vorher in Wiesbaden gewesen und in Berlin gewesen und jetzt in der Elbphilharmonie in Hamburg. So very warm welcome, dear José. Am I allowed to say Pepe to you?
Or is that, of course. Yeah? Of course. Okay. Everybody called me Pepe.
Everybody calls you Pepe. So das ist der allgemein verbreitete Spitzname Pepe, dann darf ich ihn auch Pepe nennen. Wonderful to have you here, Pepe.
Yeah, thank you. It's a real pleasure for me and for the orchestra, of course.
Have you been in the Grand Hall already? Have you had a little peek in the hall?
Yeah, I was some years ago in the rehearsal with Bata San Neumann Ensemble, and was amazing. I never thought that we can be playing here sometime, actually, so far, because just 3 years ago that I met the hall, I am always here about the really great acoustic here in the hall. But after that, I was in love with this house because you can hear everything. You must be actually a very good musician. For the musician, it's a little bit scary. They know, all the musicians of the orchestra know about that, about the histories, and they must to fix well all the details and try to hear. Yeah, it's a new feeling for them because it's very typical and different Akustik for the normal hall.
Also diesem Haus eilt auch bis nach Kuba ein entsprechender Ruf voraus. Pepe erzählt, dass er vor 3 Jahren bei einer Probe vom Balthasar Neumann Ensemble unter Thomas Hengelbrock schon im Haus war und einfach begeistert war von der Akustik und der Feinheit und der Akkuratesse des Klangs und dass die Musiker schon ein bisschen Fracksausen haben, weil das ja doch irgendwie schon sehr darauf ankommt, dass man möglichst genau artikuliert und sich möglichst wenig nicht Fehler leistet beim Spielen. Und es gab eben 2 Konzerte vorher auf dieser Deutschland-Tournee in Wiesbaden beim Rheingau Musikfestival und in Berlin beim Young Euro Classic
Young Euro
Festival.
Classic, yeah.
So, to what extent do you still feel connected to this youth orchestra situation? Are you growing out of this youth movement in a way?
Yeah, actually, I found this orchestra in 2009. With the help of Mozarteum Foundation in Salzburg and the Oficina del Historiador de la Ciudad in Havana and the University of Art in Havana. The main goal of the orchestra was to teach to the student how to play in orchestra, because in the University of Music in Cuba doesn't exist any orchestra before. Because all the teaching and learning in the university was focused on the soloist, and they don't have a good program in the chamber music and orchestra. And
neither
yeah,
nor.
Yeah, actually. Yeah. And now when I started in the school, my main goal as a student was I need to have some instrument, because I don't want to spend my whole career just conducting to piano. That is very hopeful, very helpful.
Insightful. Yeah,
But I must do something. And we started with a small group with this support, and the Mozarteum Foundation sent a lot of professor for strings, many good conductor, European conductor, conductor. And we grew up in this kind of orchestra as a school. Actually was thinking in the beginning like that, that the orchestra will be the school for the student in the university. And after, in 2016, thanks to the support of Balthasar Neumann Ensemble and the Oficina, we can chair this orchestra and split the orchestra, because the most part of the founder, student founder of the orchestra,
have outgrown.
And they need to leave. And yeah. this is the main goal for us now, that the young musician in Cuba, after they finish the university, they have the space to play and the space to live with the music.
Because we'll go on with this. I just have to translate briefly.
Sorry,
ne?
Sorry.
Um das nur ganz kurz zusammenzufassen, wir haben eigentlich mal eben die Orchestergeschichte im Schnelldurchlauf hier durchritten. Pepe erzählt, dass er 2009 zu diesem Orchester gestoßen ist, dass es damals eigentlich in der Form noch kaum gab, sondern das war ganz frisch gegründet worden, und zwar von der Stiftung des Mozarteums in Salzburg. Und er sagt, das Problem der Musikausbildung, der klassischen Musikausbildung in Kuba war immer, dass sie total auf Solistenausbildung fokussiert war. Das heißt, es gab weder Kammermusik noch Orchester. Und er als Dirigierstudent hatte das Gefühl, ich kann ja nicht mein Leben lang irgendwie zum Klavier dirigieren. Das ist ja irgendwie nicht der Sinn der Sache. Und darum war er sehr, sehr stark daran interessiert, dass da ein Orchester sich formiert und eben mit Hilfe des Mozarteums, der Stiftung und dann 2016 mit Hilfe von Thomas Hengelbrock und dem Balthasar Neumann Ensemble hat eben dieser sehr fruchtbare Austausch richtig begonnen zwischen Europa, Deutschland, Österreich, muss man sagen, in der Hauptsache ein bisschen auch Frankreich und Kuba. Und die Frage ist natürlich, oder die Erfahrung war, dass viele von den Musikstudenten, die damals 2009 noch in dieser Uni waren sozusagen, die sind ja nun eigentlich fertig. Aber die brauchen ein Orchester, die brauchen ein Spielfeld, in dem sie sich ausdrücken können. Und gleichzeitig möchte man natürlich für die nachwachsenden Studenten auch einen Klangkörper haben. Das heißt, momentan teilen sich diese beiden Orchester, wenn ich das richtig verstanden habe. Und es gibt ein Orchester, das sozusagen für die Seniors gemacht ist und eins, das weiterhin ein Jugendorchester ist. So Pepe, you are conducting both orchestras, basically. Yeah. And the one you are bringing here, of course, will be the seniors or will be the youngsters? Will be the seniors,
yeah.
The experienced ones.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, it's the second tour, like a senior orchestra, like a professional orchestra in Cuba. The first tour was 3 years ago in US. Presented a CD with Simona Dinenstein,
the American pianist.
Mm-hmm. And now, yeah, we are so lucky. Actually, in this actual situation, we are so lucky to be here in Germany in this tour, playing in Wiesbaden, Kassel, in Berlin, and here in Hamburg. It's like a dream. And for the orchestra, it's a very hard journey, I think. It's difficult mentally, physically. For many of the orchestra is the first trip to Europe
ever. So the group that was in Salzburg in 2015 is not the same as you're traveling with today, because they have at least seen snow. I mean, they were in January 2015, so it was cold. You can see pictures of them, you know, doing Schneeballschlacht and stuff. And but the musicians you're traveling now with, they are like totally new to this.
The half of them played as a student in Salzburg. That was very funny and sad story in the same time, because we bring our Cuban instrument with normally in Cuba it's 30 degrees and with a high percent of humidity, and in this January was so cold,
super dry.
So dry, and all of them was
the fretboards
without glue or something.
Yeah.
And was such a nightmare for us to try to fix it before concert was a nightmare.
Pepe erzählt von der Tournee, die sie gemacht haben, oder von dem Konzert 2015. Das war doch wohl der erste Europaaufenthalt überhaupt, nämlich in Salzburg, auch natürlich auf Einladung der Stiftung des Mozarteums. Und das war wie ein doppelter Kulturschock, weil natürlich die meisten Musikerinnen und Musiker nie zuvor in Europa gewesen waren und dann noch im Winter und dann noch aus einer Gegend kommend, wo 30 Grad sind und eine hohe Luftfeuchtigkeit herrscht, in dieses furztrockene Klima in Österreich zu kommen, wo die Griffbretter sich abgelöst haben und wo man einfach Mühe hatte, irgendwie mit diesem Instrumentarium zurechtzukommen. I've heard that story about the fretboards also in La Habana, that you have sometimes difficulty, you know, repairing your instruments, or that the glue comes off and then you can't use the instrument. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, in Havana we don't have any music store, actually.
Es gibt kein Musikgeschäft in ganz Havana.
Yeah, and for the student it's very difficult to find string or reed or any accessories. And we depend of the donation, actually, outside of Cuba.
Of Cuba, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, we survived thanks to that. And when you have to repair, when you need to repair an instrument, it's a workshop in all Havana. Actually, it's the only one workshop in the whole Cuba for a string instrument, and they are doing for free for all the students is for free, and they are sponsored by Luthiers Sin Frontera, Luthiers Sin Frontera.
This exists. I never heard of Luthiers Sin Frontera.
Yeah, it's from Belgium.
Oh, nice. Also es gibt eine wie die Médecins Sans Frontières, gibt es eine Vereinigung offenbar von Geigenbauern, die ohne Grenzen arbeiten. Und Pepe erzählt gerade, dass es in ganz Kuba gibt es eine einzige Werkstatt im Norden von Havanna, die eben auch Instrumente reparieren kann. Und die reparieren ausnahmslos umsonst, also kostenlos für die Studenten und für die Musikerinnen und Musiker des Orchesters. Und wenn man sonst Saiten braucht, neue oder Blättchen oder irgendwas, also Rohrblätter für Blasinstrumente, ist man immer auf Spenden von außerhalb von Kuba angewiesen. Do you have enough donors? I mean, are you just being bombarded with strings and with reeds or
no,
not?
No, actually, no. Because it's, can you imagine the whole, in Cuba is very popular the music school, because it's for free and you started with 8 years old until 24 in the university, and all is for free, and you
so
can,
16 years you are covered in your whole adolescence.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's so popular because the music Cuban tradition is so big. From the 19th century we have very great musician, and this is in the school, in the normal school, is around 300 students, and in each village, I don't know, village
year or
provincia.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay,
In each province, you can find a elementary school and medium school, and in four part in Cuba you can find a university school.
Specialized in
music. Yeah, specialized in music, just in music.
Okay.
And can you imagine how many students is?
Yeah, so the demand must be very high.
Yeah, right? For the string, for the instrument. Actually, I know, because I studied there too, many sad stories, like two students that study fagot, but they have the bassoon after 5 years of studying. The real instrument. They just
and before they were just imagining just, to have a bassoon.
Yeah, something like crazy. That. Theory, solfeo, story of music history and harmony, everything.
All but, other stuff, piano lessons probably, but not the instrument itself.
With the instrument.
Also verrückte Geschichte, weil es gibt wahnsinnig viele auch sehr vom Staat geförderte Musikschulen auf Kuba. Und alleine in der Schule, in der Pepe auch das Orchester leitet und unterrichtet, sind 300 Schülerinnen und Schüler. Aber der Bedarf an Instrumenten ist enorm groß. Und es ist also auch, gibt haufenweise unglückliche Geschichten von einem Fagottisten, der 5 Jahre lang auf sein Instrument warten musste. Der hat also alles andere gemacht, Solfège und Klavier und Musiktheorie, und 5 Jahre warten müssen, bis er überhaupt auf dem Instrument hat spielen können. So, this is utterly fascinating, of course, for us, because we in the West basically have in our minds Cuba, you know, would always go together with Dos Gardenias para Ti, would go together with Ry Cooder and, you know, the film and Nick Gold and all this beautiful stuff that's been brought to us by the turn of the century, I would say, or in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
And of course, those who know a little bit more about Cuban music, they know that there are fantastic pianists, that there are fantastic singers and bass players, and that they all have also a very solid classic foundation. But basically, it would be piano, right? Up to the 50s, 60s,
Yeah, after the 50s, Cuban piano school was amazing. But before that, we have some very good violinists like Jose Huay or Brindis de Sala, that they studied in the Paris Conservatoire, and they won all the Sarasates prize.
Okay.
And yeah, very good violin musician. And actually, the Havana Orchestra, founded in 1928. You can see in the history that many conductors like Karajan, Kleiber, Igor Matkevich, Otto Kempler was in
all the big names.
Actually big name, because before playing in Kennedy Center, the tour started in Havana, and all of them go to Havana and after go to US. Was like
a, so like the tryout
yeah,
to
yeah,
see
yeah.
how does
it's
it work.
In the same circuit, yeah.
Yeah.
And the orchestra was so great. Actually, Stravinsky made some premiere of his work in Havana.
With this orchestra?
With this orchestra.
And then took it on tour?
Yeah. Was,
oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it's a very... Big history.
Also das ist sehr faszinierend. Es gibt eine große Orchestertradition in Havanna von einem Orchester von Havanna, das 1928 gegründet wurde, wo alle großen Dirigenten im Grunde hingegangen sind. Und Pepe erzählt, das haben sie oft als Tryout benutzt im Grunde und in Havanna geprobt mit dem Orchester und dann die ersten Konzerte, bevor sie dann in die USA gefahren sind, um da auf Tournee zu gehen, haben sie in Havanna gespielt und sozusagen den Feinschliff gemacht und Stravinsky hätte sogar einige seiner Werke dort uraufgeführt in Havana, which is a beautiful story. I mean, we have to find out which pieces were those.
You can find in some pieces, Stravinsky's pieces, a güiro, that is a very typical, a typical instrument from Cuba.
A percussion instrument.
Yeah, a percussion instrument.
Also Stravinsky war so beeinflusst offenbar von der kubanischen Musik, dass er eben auch dieses güiro, dieser Ratsche benutzt hat als percussion instrument in einigen seiner Stücke. So this is great. You are originally from Matanzas, right? And if I have seen that correctly, your mother is a danzón teacher,
yeah.
And she is, of course, totally into music and movement. How was your approach, your personal approach to making music?
Yeah, my mother is a choreographer, and she have a contemporary dance group. But my father is a choral conductor. He studied here in Weimar, in Franz Liszt Hochschule.
In the GDR times.
The GDR times.
Also der Vater von Pepe hat Chorleitung studiert in Weimar, noch zu Zeiten der DDR. Und seine Mutter ist Choreografin und hat eine Contemporary Dance Group.
Yeah, and yeah, of course, from my first memories, I was in the my kid the garden was in the choir rehearsal, in the dance rehearsal every time, and yeah, I love this cultural cultural world. And actually, I want to be a baseball player because in Cuba is very normal and is the main sport. But hopefully, at the end, I was close to the music school, and it's so easy to study, as I told you. Yeah, why not? I want to try, and at the end was my passion. I was in love with the singing. I love a lot.
So you're coming from the vocal,
from
which
the
is
vocal.
Always a very good start for conductor,
yeah,
isn't
for,
it?
Yeah, for the phrasing, for the breathing,
absolutely.
Is so important.
Absolutely. Sehr interessant. Es hat also eine Art Doppelbegabung. Also er wäre fast eigentlich um ein Haar Baseballspieler geworden, weil das offenbar der Nationalsport ist in Kuba. Aber schon die Kindergartenzeit war eigentlich immer mit dem Chorsaal verbunden des Vaters und mit den Tanzproben der Mutter, und Kultur war immer ganz, ganz nah an ihm dran. Und dann fügte es sich, dass die Musikschule einfach so nah am Zuhause dran war, dass er dann gesagt hat, warum probiere ich nicht lieber das? Und das kam aber dann über die Stimme, über den Gesang, der Zugang zum Dirigieren. I find that interesting because oftentimes you see that conductors make their career by conducting operas in remote little opera houses, you know, working on repertoire, working on how to accompany voice and music theater and getting a sense of the dramatic qualities of music. So how did you build repertoire then?
Yeah, I was a conductor of the National Symphony in Cuba too for mm-hmm. 5 years. And yeah, this is the only way because this is the main orchestra in Cuba, the main symphony orchestra, and the Liceum Orchestra is actually the other big orchestra in Cuba. And I was so lucky to have this orchestra at the same time. I try every week a new
Which
repertoire.
One did you conduct first, or did you do it in
no
parallel?
the Liceum Orchestra was first, and after came the invitation to be a second conductor of the National Symphony. And in this time, in these five years, because the student orchestra have like more space to prepare the program, like 2 weeks
longer maybe. Rehearsals.
Yeah, longer rehearsal. But with the National Symphony, you have this three or four rehearsal, and after concert, this is a more professional focus on the conductor and the repertoire. But I actually prefer to, because it's when you have only three rehearsal, is just to try to be together, to be in tune, try to do some phrasing, but something missing.
Working on the details,
yeah,
is not
on
just
the real detail of music. I breathe together and feel the space of the rest together. That is not always the same. Yeah, the same space of the rest, like a quarter rest, is not the same. And you need time to 40 or 50, 60 people be connecting totally each other and with you. And this is something unique when you have your own orchestra, like a Lyceum orchestra, and when you have time to rehearse and to prepare. This is something special. For that reason,
so would you say that you stopped the National Symphony because of that?
Yeah, because of that.
Interesting. So when did you stop?
In 2018.
Also von 2013 bis 2018 war Pepe auch stellvertretender Chefdirigent des Staatsorchesters in Kuba. Und der sagt, das ist natürlich irgendwie eine sehr viel professionellere, in Anführungszeichen, Arbeitsweise, insofern, als es da 3-4 Proben gab und dann wurde die Aufführung gespielt. Und das hat ihm aber eigentlich nicht wirklich zugesagt, weil diese kurze Vorbereitung eben doch die Details ausspart. Und das Tolle mit diesem Lyceum Orchestra ist eben, dass man wirklich 2-3 Wochen an einem Programm arbeiten kann und dass man genau spüren kann, auch wie lang soll diese Viertelpause eigentlich sein und dass man die auch gemeinschaftlich empfindet mit 50, 60 Spielerinnen und Spielern auf der Bühne. Das ist ja dann eigentlich das große Geheimnis, was dann den Klang auch wirklich unterschiedlich stark profiliert, wo man dann merkt, ah, das ist ein wirklich ganz eng miteinander verzahntes Orchester. So this is beautiful and it's a very consequent idea then to drop the other one and to say I'm just focusing on Havana Lyceum. And how many concert, I mean, we had, and you had, of course, also big time COVID going in Cuba, which was depressing. I mean, I've seen the images, and in this country, especially, that's so vivid and so outdoors and so communicative and stuff, to not be able to make music in public must have been horrendous. How did you survive all this?
Yeah, actually, it was so hard. We, at the beginning of the COVID in Cuba, the situation was really good, and we are allowed to rehearse and make some recordings, because in Cuba existed like a classical music label. The name is Colibri, and they record a lot of Cuban music, contemporary music, chamber music, symphonic music.
This is a record label or radio station, or what kind is it?
Yeah, a record label.
Okay, Colibri. Okay.
And yeah, we have the lucky to have at least in the first year of the COVID a 5 CD recording, and we are allowed to rehearse, and we have actually a very, very good time in compare with the rest of the world.
But because you are an island, of course, always easier to control an island in terms of pandemic.
But after the last year, from the last December, was totally a madness, and we must stop for 6 months.
Okay, so it's still hard, but it's not so killing as it was maybe for other people, because in Germany and in Europe and in the US it would stop in mid-March and it wouldn't, you know, resume until recently.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there was a little break in the fall last year and in the summer, but I mean,
we were so lucky to be allowed to have this project and to be allowed to keep
until December more or less. Also bis Dezember letzten Jahres hat eigentlich Pepe und das Orchester haben proben können, und sie haben immerhin 5 CD-Aufnahmen machen können in der Zeit, einfach weil es da noch relativ leicht war in Kuba mit der Pandemiesituation, und danach aber ist es gekippt und seit Januar war dann eben ein halbes Jahr lang der völlige Stillstand. So how did you rehearse then in this half year, in the first half year? Did you just call each other and sung each other the melodies, or were they just totally depressed and nobody would do anything?
We sent the score of the next possible project, and everybody is working in the house. But we in Cuba, the internet situation is terrible too. It's impossible to have like an online meeting or something. And hopefully in the last May we are allowed, with the permission of the government, special permission, to rehearse for this tour. Actually, we don't know if we can come until two days before the flight, but anyway we must rehearse, and we ask for the special permission of the government, and Hopefully we got it and we are allowed to be again playing together.
And so how many days of rehearsal did you have then?
Two by week.
I mean, also from May on, you could again rehearse regularly until now. Oh, okay. Yeah. Also es gab dann eine lange Zeit, wo man überhaupt nicht hat proben können zusammen und wo natürlich auch Proben über das Internet nicht wirklich funktioniert haben, weil das Internet in Kuba einfach sehr instabil ist. Pepe hat dann die Noten ausgeteilt und jeder hat für sich zu Hause seine Stimme geübt, aber man konnte halt nicht zusammenkommen. Und Ende Mai, dank einer Sondergenehmigung der kubanischen Regierung, durfte man dann wieder zweimal die Woche sich zum Proben treffen, was natürlich essentiell ist, um dann eine solche Tournee vorzubereiten. So lucky you, after all, I would say, in comparison maybe to other orchestras. How is the financial situation of the orchestra now? I know that you have been funded by a private donor for a 3-year period that should have been come to an end this year, right?
Yes.
How is it going on? Ich sage ganz kurz, es gibt einen Sponsor, Klaus Engel aus Deutschland, der dem Orchester eine größere Summe Geld zur Verfügung gestellt hat für eine 3-Jahres-Periode, und zwar im Jahr 2018 war das. Das heißt, diese Periode ist eigentlich jetzt abgelaufen. Wie geht's weiter fürs Orchester?
Yeah, the first 3 year was thanks to the some donors and Baltasar Neumann, of course. They made everything possible for the orchestra, and hopefully now in the Oficina del Historiador de la Ciudad, it's like
a cultural department or something.
Yeah, the cultural department in the old Havana.
And that's only responsible for the city, not for the country.
Yeah, actually, for the city. Mm-hmm. And they, Eusebio Lear, they was the director of the Oficina. He died the last year in November. And the last thing that he made was a contract for the 30 musician orchestra belonged to Havana. To the Oficina. And
this is your orchestra.
Yeah, this is the Lyceum Orchestra.
Wow, you are very lucky.
Yeah, actually, yes.
Die Geschichte geht so, dass es eben diesen Sponsor gab und da war natürlich auch das Balthasar Neumann Ensemble, was da ganz viel Energie reingegeben hat und auch mit Mitteln geholfen hat, dass das Orchester irgendwie sich hat halten können finanziell, dadurch, dass es einfach auch Gagen zahlen konnte. Diese 3 Jahre sind abgelaufen, aber der Chef, des Kultursenats von Havanna, der im vergangenen Herbst gestorben ist, hat quasi als eine seiner letzten Amtshandlungen noch verfügt, dass die Stadt künftig für ein 30-köpfiges Orchester sorgt. Und zwar als, würde man sagen, als Dauerförderung. So this is indefinite. So this is money you can count on now for the next.
At least 30 musicians, when we made more bigger programs, we must to find some
sponsors.
Also
die Arbeitsgrundlage für 30 Musikerinnen und Musiker ist auf diese Weise gesichert. Und bei größeren Projekten muss man sich dann halt noch um größere Sponsoren bemühen. This time you are coming with Mozart in Mambo, which is a wonderful project, of course. And I have read that all this Mozart craze in Cuba is maybe very, very old, but it has been rekindled by this little statuette of Mozart in the middle of Havana in 2009, I think. There was
seven.
2007. So an Austrian sculptor donated this, and it was Land Salzburg that gave it to you. Could one say that this really made a difference in terms of the Mozart's reception in Havana, or were you always crazy about him?
Yeah, no. Actually, thanks to the Stiftung, Mozarteum Stiftung, they have like a Lyceum Mozartiano of Havana. They made that.
Coined the name.
Yeah, with the name and with the Mediatek, because in Cuba now it's more easy, but 15 years ago it was very difficult to find a score, to find CDs or DVDs. And they create this Mediatek for all the musicians, student or professional in Havana. With the whole Mozart, Haydn, Beethoven, Brahms, the whole collection of CD and audio. With the score too, because we don't have any editorial in Havana. we learning the music with the old Russian score that have many mistakes, actually.
Russian scores with mistakes. Okay,
yeah.
I see.
And yeah, in the first year was like a wave of a musician in this MediaTek and this building to try to find the audio, do the DVDs and the scores. And actually, the orchestra was focused on the beginning to play Mozart because for me and as a musician, as a conductor, to create a sound of the orchestra, to create the articulation, to learn how to play in the orchestra, Mozart, Haydn, Schubert is the main school, actually. If you play really good Mozart and really good Haydn, maybe
you're
after
pretty
that,
safe.
It's because it's very difficult. It's so transparent, so simple.
It seems so light, and it is so utterly difficult. As they say, you know, it's too easy for children and too difficult for adults.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This is so wise.
Yeah.
Let me translate that briefly. Yeah. So Mozart Statue gut und schön 2007. Das Hauptsächliche war natürlich die Zusammenarbeit mit der Stiftung Mozarteum, die dann dafür gesorgt hat, dass da auch eine Mediathek eingerichtet wurde in Havanna. Das heißt, endlich gab es gültige Noten, aus denen man vernünftig spielen konnte. Es gab Plattenaufnahmen, Videos, wo man sich einfach kundig machen konnte als Musiker. Wie wird das eigentlich gespielt? Denn bis dahin gab es russische Partituren, die offenbar auch fehlerhaft waren und aus denen man eben nicht wirklich den Urtext ersehen konnte. Und bis heute gibt es natürlich auch keinen Musikverlag, der das irgendwie jetzt kontinuierlich betreuen würde. Aber das hat ganz viel ausgemacht. Und Pepe sagt, ich habe mich von Anfang an im Grunde auf diese Wiener Klassik fokussiert, auf Mozart, Haydn, Beethoven, weil wenn ein Orchester diese Musik richtig gut spielen kann, mit allen Artikulationen, dann kann eigentlich nicht mehr viel schiefgehen, weil das ist einfach eine vermeintlich leichte Musik, die sauschwer wirklich im Orchester gut zu spielen ist. Und wenn man das gut kann, dann hat man eigentlich einen guten Vorbau geleistet für anderes Repertoire. So, and I guess you will definitely also enlarge this repertoire, so play maybe some contemporary stuff. Are there Cuban composers, for instance, who are writing for your orchestra?
Yeah, actually, after the orchestra starting to play, at the same time became a new generation of composer, because before that the composer just wrote for themselves.
With the draw.
Yeah. And after, with the department of the composition in the university, we have this kind of agreement that every year we made the premiere of two or three pieces by young composers. They have like a competition, and every year we play this music. And now all the composers want to compose for this.
Fantastic.
For this competition, and is the same with the musician. We have an audition for the orchestra, for the student orchestra and the professional orchestra every year. And before of that, the main goal of the Cuban musician, of the young Cuban musician, was try to be enough good to go out to other country. And now they can think to have a life in Cuba, playing in the orchestra. And now you can see the children studying and dreaming to play in the orchestra. Actually, some of the musicians here grow up like a musician, listen to the orchestra in the radio and the television, and the main dream of them was to join one day.
Yeah. I will be.
And this is so fantastic for the society and for the Cuban music. At the end, this is the main goal. To the musician can have the opportunity to make music in Cuba.
Wir haben über zwei Themen gesprochen. Das eine war, dass ich gefragt habe, wie entwickelt sich denn das Repertoire über Mozart hinaus? Man muss ja auch ein bisschen die zeitgenössische Musik bedenken. Und dann sagt Pepe, ja, das gibt es auch. Wir haben eine Kompositionsklasse. Und früher haben die Komponisten eigentlich nur für die Schublade komponiert, weil es eigentlich keinen Klangkörper gab, der das hätte realisieren können. Jetzt gibt es Jahr für Jahr einen Wettbewerb, wo die zwei, drei besten Stücke dann tatsächlich auch vom Orchester aufgeführt werden. Und was Ähnliches gilt auch für die Musikerinnen und Musiker. Denn früher hat man als Instrumentalist in Kuba eigentlich zugesehen, dass man gut genug wurde, um außer Landes irgendwie Erfolg zu haben. Und jetzt ist es tatsächlich ein Ziel, im Orchester zu bleiben und in diesem Orchester einfach arbeiten zu können. Das heißt, die ganzen tollen Musikerinnen und Musiker, die es gibt auf Kuba, die sind jetzt auch, die bleiben. Die sind sozusagen geblieben und bleiben auch gerne, weil sie da viel zu tun haben und viel zu spielen haben. So, all this is fantastic and inspiring news, I find. And it's such a beautiful, you know, exchange between Europe. And I know how much Europeans who have worked with you have learned for themselves yeah. from being in Cuba. You know, it's not just a one-way street. It's really such a mutual enhancement of qualities and stuff. What would be the next big goal for you to achieve with your orchestra?
Now, try to, establish a more professional whole season of a concert, because we have a hall in Havana, but we are not allowed to play every time the hall, and this is difficult to find a good concert hall in Havana.
Do you have to share the hall with all kinds of other people who want to do stuff?
But now the other step is try to have our main hall for us, and to establish this this season completely.
Which would then have to be built. It's not existing.
No. It's existing.
That would be the very hall.
Actually, we play it a lot in this place, but we need the permission to have the whole season and try to establish a tour secret in Cuba and after in America we played sometimes in US, but with the new relation it was so difficult, but
Trump it was almost
nothing happening there. Try to keep this tours and season concert to be more focused on that, and continue with the university school, because at the end this is the future of the music, and
Fresh Power is coming in.
This is the idea.
Also gefragt, was ist das mittelfristige nächste große Ziel, was Pepe hat mit seinem Orchester? Sagt er, ja, das eine ist, dass wir eigentlich gerne so eine Art Saison haben wollen würden in einem Spielort, den es auch schon gibt, den wir aber mit vielen anderen teilen müssen. Und eigentlich hätten wir den gerne für uns allein und sieht auch nicht so schlecht aus. Dann könnte man da übers Jahr einfach ein richtiges Saisonprogramm machen. Zweitens könnte man mit dem Orchester in Kuba touren und man könnte auch in den USA touren. Das ist in den letzten Jahr nicht besonders erquicklich gewesen, aber das scheint sich jetzt zu verbessern. Und meine letzte Frage an ihn wird jetzt sein, wie sind denn die politischen Verhältnisse momentan in Kuba? Ist das so, dass das eigentlich eher zu seinen Gunsten sich entwickelt, oder ist das alles sehr unsicher? So how is the general political development in Cuba going right now? Is it going in your favor, or are you a little anxious that maybe there will be a rollback or things that will stop you from fulfilling your dreams?
Yeah, I mean, in Cuba we have a lot of economic problem, of course, and the people have very bad time. But now it's actually worse. But I feel that the main change that the people want is not in the political situation. I think this is my opinion. They want to change the economy and the way, but the way now is not the best. I think in both parts we are totally against to the violence, of course, and to the whole restriction that maybe we can have. I think the only way is to speak and try to be in favor of the people of the majority. But Cuba always will be a cultural country. I think in any
given circumstance politically, there will always be.
I think yes, because the people always need, not just in Cuba, in the rest of the world, the people always will need the music like a salvation, and the culture, the art, and we are focused on that, and we are working for the Cuban culture, no matter which political system we have or we will have in the future. We are working for the Cuban culture that have 300 year of history, and we part of that, and we must to continue this with this history. It's the main thing.
Das ist jetzt keine sehr diplomatische, sondern eine sehr engagierte Antwort gewesen von Pepe, der sagt, wir haben in Kuba wirklich schwierige Zeiten im Moment und es ist eher unerfreulich und wirtschaftlich geht es den Leuten schlecht und das ist alles sehr ärgerlich und wir sind natürlich total auch gegen die Gewalt, die da momentan herrscht. Wir wollen das alles nicht. Gleichzeitig aber wissen wir, dass Kuba, egal wie es regiert wird, immer eine Kulturnation sein wird. Und wir fühlen uns diesem kulturellen Erbe verpflichtet. Wir fühlen uns dem kulturellen Kuba verpflichtet, das seit 300 Jahren irgendwie eine ganz große Bedeutung hat für alle, die dort leben und auch weit über Kuba hinaus. Und das wird auch so bleiben. Und natürlich hoffen wir, dass da viel Freiräume entstehen werden für uns. Pepe, I thank you so very much. I know you have to run to go to the rehearsal.
Yeah,
and I can't hold you up any longer. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. It was a pleasure to be here.
Danke schön.
Elbphilharmonie Talk, der Gesprächspodcast der Elbphilharmonie.